Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. It's been almost 2 years since the Biden administration announced the Mid-Atlantic Clean Hydrogen Hub, or MACH 2, was among a series of hydrogen hubs selected to receive substantial federal support to jumpstart the hydrogen fuel industry, and that Delaware would be part of MACH 2. Since then, little visible progress has been made with MACH 2. That is until last week, when Eternium, a Delaware-based company, received $1 million from the federally funded Delaware Accelerator and Seed Capital Program to develop engineering for producing clean hydrogen. But is that a sign MACH 2 is ready to get rolling? Or will changes to federal support for hydrogen fuel under the Trump administration, including funding cuts to some hydrogen hubs just this week, stymie any progress and threaten the hub's future? This week, contributor John Hurl takes a closer look at where MACH 2 stands in his latest piece, available at DelawarePublic.org, and we chatted earlier this week about what he learned. This week, the U.S. Department of Energy, as part of its response to the government shutdown, announced it was pulling about $7.5 billion of funding for over 200 clean energy projects, largely in states led by Democrats. It appears those cuts include two hydrogen hub projects out west, but MACH 2 appears to have escaped any cuts. What can you tell us about where things stand right now based on these cuts in MACH 2?
First thing to note, Tom, is that we haven't had an official statement from the Department of Energy saying who's in and who's out, and specifically did not mention MACH 2. What we have heard from Manny Citron, who is the chief operating officer of MACH 2, is that his operation is not on the list of clean energy projects that the DOE has published. It hasn't put that out publicly, but Citron says that he's seen such a list and that that MACH 2 appears to have escaped the axe this time around. Now, it's worth saying that MACH 2 leaders have been, he says that they've been in regular touch with the Department of Energy and making in what he says is the strongest possible argument about the economic and environmental benefits of operating this this network of hydrogen producers and consumers and distributors in the Mid-Atlantic area. So that's as far as we know at the moment. We have been assured by MACH 2 that they continue to have the federal funding that they were counting on.
So John, let's head back to kind of the initial premise of this piece, because that was last week's funding announcement by a company called Eternium. Can you tell us a little bit about who they are and where they fit in the MACH 2 picture? And they're getting $1 million. What they expect that funding that they're getting will help them accomplish?
Well, Eternium is a hydrogen producer. They were first known as First State Hydrogen. They changed their name back in January of this year. And so they are they're a key player in MACH 2. They're one of about a dozen participants operating around about 20 projects. And they announced that they're getting this $1 million, which was awarded by the state, but is ultimately federal funding for small businesses. And that money, Eternium says, will be used to what they call propel the engineering that will help them establish this hydrogen production, for which they say they can produce profitably, regardless of whether they qualify for federal tax breaks.
When we were talking about this before it happened here at the end of the week, you know, this Eternium announcement did kind of raise this question about MACH 2 and where it stands, and you know, the promise MACH 2 was making of jumpstarting hydrogen fuel production, distribution, and use. And I guess, you know, kind of at the core here is a basic premise that MACH 2, launched under the Biden administration, which was gung-ho about hydrogen and other renewable fuels, and now it's trying to make progress under a Trump administration that does not seem to share that enthusiasm. So beyond the funding cuts we discussed at the top of this discussion, what are some of the other issues that the hub and others face under a Trump administration to keep moving forward?
Well, for one thing, it is a hydrogen that would be produced for so-called hard to decarbonize sectors like of the economy, like long haul trucking. The fact is that it's a renewable fuel, and the Trump administration has made no secret of its let's say skepticism about renewable fuels. I mean, they're clearly all in on fossil fuels. The president stood up in front of the United Nations about a week ago and referred to clean energy as a quote, a green scam. And so I think that any operation producing renewable fuels, including industrial hydrogen, has to overcome that particular objection. It's probably also fair to say that, you know, there clearly is some subsidy involved in this. It's unclear. I mean, the Biden administration started out with making available up to $750 million in federal funds for the Mark II, for the Mid-Atlantic hub. You know, its supporters say that it is dependent on government help. I mean, even though industrial hydrogen has been produced independently for a long time, what hasn't happened until now is an attempt to create a market between producers and consumers and distributors, and that's what the federal money would be used for if it's finally made available.
And there were some other things that the Trump administration has done, John, right, that have kind of changed the rules of the game for the hubs in terms of timing and the availability of subsidies, correct?
Well, that's right. The so-called Big Beautiful Bill that was passed by Congress recently very much accelerates the timeline whereby hydrogen producers can qualify for the tax breaks, which their supporters of the hub say are essential to the economics of making this whole thing work. And so specifically, there's these things called the 45V under the Treasury Tax Code. Under the Biden administration, that would have been available to any hub participants that began or that showed that they'd begun construction of their infrastructure by 2032. Now, under the Big Beautiful Bill, that's been brought forward to 2027. The hubs backers say, well, the participants of Mark II participants, they are predicted to they will still qualify, but it, you know, it remains to be seen whether they actually will. Some critics say, well, there's no way they can because this is a very long-term proposition.
So I want to revisit the Eternium announcement, which, as we mentioned earlier, seemed to offer some optimism for hydrogen in Mach 2. What did Eternium officials have to say about the current landscape and what they think they can accomplish?
Well, we spoke with Andrew Cotone, who's the chief executive of Eternium, and he acknowledged that there's a pretty heavy degree of public skepticism about the outlook for Mark II, but he said the fact that there is now this $1 million to facilitate the engineering, it should be a demonstration to the public that this thing can work, and that Eternium will be a contributor to the overall hub.
As you mentioned, you did talk to the chief operating officer of Mach 2, Manny Citrone, for this story. And he did raise some red flags about how Mach 2 could be affected if further federal funding does dry up, correct?
Yes, he did. He raised the concern about so-called phase two funding. And phase two funding is to do with the finalization of engineering plans by the hub participants and their site selection plan, and we should say at this point that his Citrone's comments were made before the DOE's statement on Thursday cutting funding to more than 200 of these projects. You know, Citrone was saying he sounded worried that if phase two funding was not available, then this was going to make the economics much harder for the participants in the Mark II hub. That they would have to take a much harder look at whether it was economically feasible for them to do so if that money wasn't available. And so he did sound quite worried at that point.
John, throughout this process, a number of environmental groups have opposed Mach 2, largely suggesting it will not be as green as it claims to be. How are they reading the current situation and the future of the project?
Well, one of the environmental groups, Delaware Riverkeeper Network, picked up on the these changes in the tax rules that we talked about before, and referred to this as having a what was called a chilling effect on the whole process. Now, I mean, it has to be said that DRN has been a pretty outspoken critic of the whole hub proposal, the enterprise, from the start. And so, I think that it's probably fair to say that they're looking at changing circumstances here as a way of saying, well, we told you so, that this thing is really not going to work, and these changes in the tax rules are going to make it harder for the participants to contribute to the hub.
So, John, after talking to all these different people about Mach 2 and what happened here at the end of the week, what's your sense of its future? It does feel like the project is swimming against the current, even if individual players like Eternium are making some headway. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I think the latest announcement by the DOE, and if it turns out that Mach 2 has escaped the axe for the time being, then that rather muddies the waters here. But I mean, there are, as we've been discussing, a series of headwinds that the project still faces, even if it has escaped the cuts at the moment. And I think it has some very serious challenges to overcome.
Thanks to contributor John Hurdle for his time this week. John's piece on the status and future of the Mid-Atlantic Clean Hydrogen Hub, or Mach 2, is available at DelawarePublic.org. And stay with us. History Matters is next, with a preview of a lecture series coming to the Fort Miles Museum. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.